all, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast, dropping during this two-week holiday season of Christmas and New Year's. You know I love me a good scientist, and I'm always looking for someone to interview who might indulge my scientific whimsies. And this week, I was lucky. I got to interview Bert Terhart. And I mean, he's not only a scientist, he's also a soldier, a sailor, adventurer, and serial entrepreneur. So when I say that this human being contains multitudes, he probably contains more than multitudes. And I'm not sure where they're all stuffed inside of him, because he really is a fabulously complex and intelligent man. Now, Bert and I had a great conversation. In this episode, we bring up killer whales, we bring up the ocean, we talk about danger, we talk about making good decisions, we talk about what it looks like to go out into the world and have an adventure, or maybe begin a journey that absolutely terrifies you. He has had a lifelong passion for the oceans and oceanography, and he has advanced degrees in math, physics, and physical oceanography. So when I'm saying scientist, I mean Bert hits all the right buttons for me. It was a great conversation, and Bert is such an incredible human being with so many fabulous stories. So I hope you enjoy this episode as you're wrapping your presents and maybe baking those last Christmas cookies. And I'll see you on the flip side when the next episode drops. But until then, you have this episode and my conversation with Bert.
After an hour of traveling, the first thing you're looking for is a place to stay, because the weather can drive you off the river or the lake. It could be a storm. I was on the outskirts of a tornado and a hurricane. So it rained 9 out of 10 days that I was gone for the 6.5 months. So finding shelter is extremely difficult. And without shelter, you're just dead man walking. I would call it a miracle. We're surrounded by miracles every waking moment of the day. But that was certainly one that you know, certainly got, you know, punched me in the face. And the other one I would say similarly was that, you know, paddling across the country, that was, again, I mean, that's pretty tough. Canada is almost all wilderness. And if you choose to walk across it or paddle across it, it's very much unchanged than it was, say, 200 years ago. And it's very difficult to find a place to stay, because I was living in a tent that was no bigger than, you know, packed up. It was less than a pound, because that's all I could carry. It was this big, all rolled up. So you can't just, you know, you can't just stay everywhere, because firstly, it's a riverbank, and typically a riverbank or maybe a lake, and there's the shore is completely inhospitable and rugged and wild and crazy within the first hour when you leave. So I'm paddling maybe 10 or 12 hours a day. Or walking or whatever I need to do to get across the country. And after an hour of traveling, the first thing you're looking for is a place to stay, because the weather can drive you off the river or the lake. It could be a storm. I was on the outskirts of a tornado and a hurricane. So it rained 9 out of 10 days that I was gone for the 6.5 months. So finding shelter is extremely difficult. And without shelter, you're just dead man walking. Like literally, you're just not going to make it. So shelter is incredibly important. So every hour, after the first hour of traveling, I'm immediately looking for, because I might have to get off the river. I might have to stay where I am. Maybe I can't get around. Maybe something's broken. So there's all kinds of things to go wrong. And the first thing you have is shelter. And you're completely exposed, not like the big boat where there's, you know, there's a cabin. No, there's just nothing. So I worried about this constantly. Like I would, at every hour, I would be grading potential campsites, right? So out of a scale of 5, so that I knew that if I came to one that was, say, a 5 out of 5, and it was late in the day, I would get off at the 5 out of 5. And if I hadn't seen a campsite, you know, that was above a 2 in the last 3 hours, and I came across a 3, I was getting off the water at the 3, because the chances of not me seeing anything better were very low. So I had this, I'm constantly, you know, playing. So there's a lot of, you know, emotion and anxiety and energy that goes into that. And I realized that every time I needed a place to get off, there was always a place to get off. Every time. Every time I needed one, it was right there. And I thought, wait a second, you know, isn't that what's in the Bible? Like, the birds never worry about, they're not worried. Why should you be worried, basically, to butcher that piece of scripture horribly? So I stopped worrying about it completely. I said, whatever I need, it will be provided. I just have to accept that. And it's easy to say that. It's something else to be mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually aligned with that belief. That's the only way that you can succeed in anything, is that you need to be aligned in those four ways, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. If you become misaligned in any one of those, then your chances of success start to degrade. And if you're misaligned in all four, then it's going to be miserable. So I became aligned with the fact that whatever I needed, I would find, and whatever circumstance I was in, that was the correct circumstance. It was tremendously uplifting, right? To actually realize that in the deepest way. So you hear this all the time in popular literature and culture, that you have to live in the now, but that's almost impossible to do in our culture, where we're bombarded by, you know, by things 24/7, like my phone is going off at 3 in the morning, you know, when clients on the East Coast are calling me. So it happens all the time. So it's hard to be embedded in the now. But embedded in the now, part of that is that you're physically, that you're aligned completely and faithful, and that whatever you need is going to be provided. So I think that to me, that was one of the most, it was one of the most beautiful realizations of the, you know, of the canoe trip. And it manifests itself not just in shelter, but it manifests in finding food. It manifests in being lost. Like, cause I only used a map and a compass, no electronic navigation, and it's a wilderness. So, you know, just go out in the woods sometime and have a look around. Like most people won't get in a car without, you know, these days, without the phone telling them which way to the grocery store. So now imagine that there's nothing. Like most people actually aren't afraid of losing sight of, they're not afraid of going to sea. They're afraid of losing sight of land. Because once you lose sight of land, there's no more navigational direction. There's no way to tell you which way to go anymore. Like at least if you can see the top of the mountain, you guys should probably head over there. Everything else is just a wilderness. So, you know, losing sight of land, being lost is a very primal fear. It lives in every one of us. All you have to do is, leave your phone at home. You can get an idea what that might be like. So,
yeah, I was actually, when I walked the Camino in 2013 in France,
there you go.
Yes, they actually, in the middle of the forest, they were doing some clearing of land. So they cleared they cut down the actual signpost that was supposed to tell me which way to turn. So I blazed right past it and all of a sudden found myself somewhere in the French woods, but also on this weird, like, logging road.
Yeah.
And it was raining and it was so cold. France had the worst weather they had in 90 years. I could feel myself becoming hypothermic because it was so cold, and I was just getting, so I just kept walking. And I realized I'm not anywhere near where I'm supposed to be. I have no clue where I am.
Yeah.
And so eventually I bumped into this really small village and I crawled under this person's like garage or whatever. My hands would barely work, but I got my phone out of my, okay. And I did not have Wi-Fi in France, but somehow for like 2 or 3 minutes, I was able to access the map app and look at where I was supposed to be versus where I was in this village where no one was coming out to say, are you okay? And I found myself on a highway and I walked to where I was supposed to be. But I mean, I was drenched. I played around with putting, you know, just erecting my tent in the woods and my rain fly and everything. And I thought, no, you're too cold and everything's soaked and you will die potentially. You have mm-hmm. to keep walking. And mm-hmm. so I did. And that's what saved me is like, I did not stop walking. Also, I didn't get hit on the French highway, which is another miracle, because those people drive crazy, kind mm-hmm. of like they drive in New Mexico, a little mm-hmm. crazy. So I was so grateful when I got to where I was supposed to be and I took a hot shower and then I literally just passed out in bed. I was like,
well, there's a couple really amazing things about that story that just warm my heart is one of them is that when you're faced with a decision that's really, really dire. So do I set up my tent or do I keep walking? No matter how hard keep walking is. And you make that decision like this, it's easy at that time in that circumstance. But if I pose that question to you now, you'd go, well, I don't know, I should put it up. Maybe I could have made a fire. I could have rubbed a couple of sticks. I, you know, whatever, I could have waited. I could have had something to eat. The list goes on and on and on. But when you're actually in that situation and you're in the moment, like you're embedded in that moment, and you still have the, you know, you're still lucky enough to be able to make a decision, then the decision is very easy. And that's always been my own, like understanding when to quit is really important. Quitting is important. It's not that, you know, just having your head down and, you know, full steam ahead, regardless of, you know, damn the torpedo sorts of thing is ridiculous. It's interesting that you didn't, when you're describing that, you didn't hesitate at all. That I couldn't put up the tent. My hands were too cold. I knew if I kept walking, because you can walk for a very long time. You can keep going, right? But as soon as you lay down, then you start to get cold, like right now. So yeah, it was amazing that you made that, to me, it sounded like you made that decision very, very quickly. And then the miracle of it all, I mean, not just the fact that you survived, of course, because that's miraculous in itself. On a big scale, but on a much smaller scale, you need to look at your app. You've had no phone connection for weeks, and suddenly it works for the 2 minutes you need, then shuts off. Like, how is that? How is that? You can't say I'm going to walk around like this with your phone until I have cell phone coverage. And yeah, so I think that's that was beautiful.
Hope you all thoroughly enjoyed listening to Bert's stories and actually hearing what it sounds like to navigate the entire globe and travel the Indian Ocean and see six story waves. I mean, at the end of our conversation, I thought, that is an adventure that I'm gonna skip. I mean, I can walk across France without speaking the language, but alone on a boat for months and months on end, and then those six-story waves that we talked about. Yeah, I'm gonna skip all that. But it's a good thing that we have people like Bert in the world because he is the one that goes out and has these adventures for us. And then he comes back and tells us his tales. There will be a link in the episode show notes so you can click on that and find out a little bit more about this intrepid traveler, this intrepid adventurer. As this year is winding down, I want to thank each and every one of you for all the love that you've shown the podcast this year and all the love that you've shown me. It has been an extremely challenging year filled with lots and lots of unexpected surprises and needs to move from place to place. And frankly, sometimes I look back on this year and I wonder how I actually got a podcast out each and every week. I am very aware that lots and lots of people, including many of my dear friends, have had the years from hell. And so I think we're all looking forward to 2025 and hopefully better times. Although that is to be determined because we know what's happening in January. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Bert. Be an adventurer. I mean, really, honestly, like we joked about laying on the couch and getting up and going to work out, but I mean, there's your front door and you could just walk to your front door and open it because the second that you cross that threshold and the second you go into the outside world, all bets are off and any adventure is yours for the taking. So be like Bert get up off the couch, roll off the couch, crawl off the couch, whatever that looks like, put on your shoes, put on your jacket, and then go to your front door, turn the knob, and then step across the threshold, because you never know what's waiting out there in the world for you.